Okay, I want to welcome everybody to, I guess we'll call it the first in a series of Shiurim. I'm not committing to how many could be in that series, but at least we'll call it a theoretical series of Shiurim. Of course, relating to issues concerning Hilchos Shabbos. So just as a little bit of an introduction, many of you may be familiar that we started a series of Shiurim concerning Hilchos Shabbos on Sunday morning here for the men. So I'm going to give you the exact same introduction, probably verbatim, as what I gave them a couple of weeks ago. When we talk about the study of Hilchos Shabbos, so we have to focus really on two different dimensions. We have to focus, number one, on what Chazal tell us, Gadol Talmud Shemeiv L'dei Maisa, that the more that a person studies a particular area of halacha, the greater they will become familiar with the intricacies of that area, and the greater it's going to impact on their observance of that particular mitzvah. So this is not only true for Shabbos. If a person studies the laws of tefillah, then their tefillah will probably improve. If a person studies the laws of kashrus, so then they're going to be obviously much more meticulous about the areas of kashrus. So Hilchos Shabbos is such a vast knowledge of halacha that without the proper study of Hilchos Shabbos, it is almost impossible to observe Shabbos really in the proper manner. So in a very, very practical sense, Hilchos Shabbos, the study of Hilchos Shabbos is critical to enable us just simply to be able to observe Shabbos properly. But I think that the statement of Chazal that Gadol Talmud Shemil De Maisa, that studying is so great because it ultimately leads a person to action, is not only in the cause and effect, in the sense of, well, if I know what I'm not allowed to put in the Pelech on Shabbos, then I'll fulfill that. If I know what I'm not allowed to peel on Shabbos, then I got it right. That's also true. But it's much deeper than that. The more that a person spends studying something, so the closer a person comes to that area, the more a person comes to appreciate it. And there's no question that our Shemir Shabbos will become enhanced, will become greater, by the fact that we're going to spend more time studying Hilchos Shabbos together. It will become enhanced in ways that we're not even familiar with, we can't even quantify. Just we will have a closer and a deeper and a more of appreciation of Shabbos, just simply by the fact that we study it together. I always give the boys in the Yeshiva a mashal that last year in the yeshiva, we learned Masechet Sukkah. So when you spend the whole year learning Masechet Sukkah, so now you sit in the sukkah finally, it's the whole year. It's a different sukkah. It means something different to you. It's a whole different mindset. A couple of years ago, we learned Masechet Pesachim. So you learn Pesachim the whole year. You sit down to the Seder. You've been talking about matzah the whole year. It's a different matzah. So this year is tough in yeshiva because this year we're learning Masechet Bava Kamma. Bava Kamma deals with punching people and breaking things and animals eating other people's properties and burning down people's houses. Not the nicest things in the world. So we're trying not to put any of that into practice. So if Chas v'Shalom, somebody backs the car into somebody, don't go, wow, this is exciting. We're learning Bava Kamma this year. Well, let's really talk about it. So we'll try to stick to the exuberance and relate it to Hilchos Shabbos. As I'm looking around, I see that there are some people here who are actually my students in Hilchos Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Goes back, we won't date anybody, including myself, but I think we could almost call it a different Gilgal, that when I had the opportunity to teach Hilchos Shabbos back in Stern in the earlier years. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was four semesters. So that was 13 weeks, four times over. So that was 52 shiurim. At the time, we did not come anywhere near to completing anything. So, some of you may want to look up some of your old exams. I don't know, see how you did on them. As I look at some familiar student faces. But we'll try to do as best as we can. Probably a few less year than 52 of them. But we'll try just to give a little bit of a taste, a little bit of some things related to Shabbos. One thing we probably won't have that we had in those years, see some trivia, Bob, who remembers what we had in those years? The brownies that a frat used to bring during the midterm and final. So that's probably not going to be able to have that. But we'll see what we can do as a substitute. So now let's see if we can get down to the heart and soul of learning Hilchos Shabbos. So I thought that the first topic we would take was a topic very, very much relevant to practical halacha lemaisa. And those are the issues, and there were a whole series of them that combined together in terms of preparing salads on Shabbos. Hopefully, try to encourage our families to eat healthy. So we're going to be making some vegetable salads, maybe some fruit salads. And there are a whole array of different potential pitfalls. No pun intended. I did not think of that line, by the way. Pitfalls involved in the making of salad. And it's really something that if we're just familiarize ourselves with the halachas a little bit better and we understand what's behind the halachas, it's really very simple to do it in a proper manner. If a person is not aware of the details of the halacha, then it becomes much more difficult to observe the halacha properties. Let's begin with the first of the sources. It's a quote from the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos, from Simen Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yutes. Also liklof, it's actually really, literally it's a quote from the Ramah, the comment on the Shulchan Aruch. Also liklof, shumim ubitzalim, kishakolef lahaniach, avalechali al tashari. One is not permitted to peel garlic or onions. We're going to see these are just two examples. In Eastern Europe, not many other things grew, so that's kind of all that we spoke about. But it really refers to other kinds of things as well. One is not supposed to peel any of these kinds of things if one is peeling them for use later in the day. However, if one is peeling them to eat immediately, so that would become permissible. So we just want to plug it in simply for us. A person wants to peel a banana, for argument's sake, want to peel an orange, want to peel any other kind of fruit or vegetable. So if it's being done for immediate use, that's permissible. If it's being done for later use, that becomes a problem. And this is already opens up for us a major conceptual question with Shabbos. What kind of a strange concept is this, that if you do it for right away, that it's okay? Let's say a person wants to light on the roof. Well, I'm doing it for right away, it's okay. No, we wouldn't say that. I want to write my name, I'm doing it right away, it's okay. No, there's no such rule in the Shabbos. Things that you do for immediate use are permissible. So what exactly is going on here? So there are certain types of malacha, certain types of quote-unquote prohibited activities on Shabbos that are very, very fine line between what's called malacha and what's called just simply part of the eating process. Whatever is considered to be derech achila, whatever is considered to be just the way a normal person eats, so those stages that are literally a preparation, the immediate preparation of the food right before one's eating, sometimes are permissible, sometimes are covered by this rule called derech achila rather than derech malacha. Some of you may be familiar, may remember back to the days of Borer, that there's a prohibition on Shabbos, you're not allowed to separate things. If you have a whole mixture of stuff, you have some good and some bad, or you have peanuts and raisins, things you do want, things you don't want, so there are a lot of details as to what you're allowed to separate, when you're allowed to separate, but one of the principles that are important is, for when is it being done? If it's being done for later in the day, that's much more malacha oriented. If it's being done for right before the meal, that's much more derech achila, and under certain circumstances, that would be permissible. So this is exactly what the poskim are telling us, that when it comes to peeling, so generally speaking, peeling is permissible for immediate use, but it has to be avoided if it's being done for later. But just to understand conceptually why this is so and to be able to apply it practically, we have to take a look at the second of the sources. This is the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha are the longer comments of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, which is the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and then he wrote the longer comments in the Sefer Bir Halacha, that's printed on the side of the Mishnah Berurah. So the Bir Halacha, Chafetz Chaim, has the following question, the Lich Oren, the second of the sources. Yesh Ledachtek, let's analyze what we just said. The Kevan de Kolef Bechlal Borehu. It would appear that why is there any problem of peeling anything on Shabbos? Why are we talking about how to circumvent the problem of peeling? What's the problem in the first place? So the answer is the problem most probably is a problem of borer, a problem of separating. I have good and bad together. I have a banana and I have a banana peel. I have an orange, I have an orange peel. Or I have an onion, I have an onion peel. So it's good and bad together. I want to separate one from another. That's a potential problem of borer. He asks the Chafetz Chaim, if that's the case, litzar afilu lechol yalter, that it should be prohibited even for immediate use. Da misha kolef tapuchim v'shumu b'tzolim, somebody was peeling apples or garlics or onions or bananas or oranges, whatever you're peeling, notel apsolos v'nicha ochel, you're taking the bad away from the good. Now you may remember back to the Borer days, that's a no-no. In Hilchas Borer, when we speak about separating, it's absolutely critical to take what you want and to leave behind the bad. What's the rationale for that? Very simple. When you're taking away the part that you want, if you're taking what you want to eat, that can be labeled as derech achila. I'm eating. I'm taking the food that I'm about to eat. If I start to push away the stuff that I don't want to eat, that's not called eating, that's called separating. Again, it's a very, very fine line, but there's a difference between what's called derech achila, which is permissible, what's called derech malacha, which is prohibited. So says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Chafetz Chaim, how could it be that we ever permit you to peel a banana? How could you ever peel a garlic? How could you ever peel an onion? You're always taking the bad from the good, which is the problem. Ukvain is barley ale. Mishnah Berurah continues in the second line. Ukvain is barley ale b'simin shinyutes. The psolos b'toch ochel afil li'al t'chayev. If a person removes bad from the good, that's always a problem of borer. So here, in the next line and a half, the Mishnah Berurah, the Halacha, gives us the absolute guiding principle for everything we've been speaking about now. Venera. The kevan de e efshar b'inyan acher. There is no other way to get to the banana without removing the banana peel. There is no other way to get to the onion without removing the peel. Therefore, since it's impossible to do it any other way, v'derech achiloso b'kach, that automatically is called the derech achila. Lo mikre psalos b'doch ochel. So that's not considered to be removing bad from the good. Your whole goal is the opposite. Your goal is to eat the good part. For kol shuli al tashari, as long as it's done for right away, then it's okay. But if it's done for later, then it's for sure going to be also. So basically, let's just recap for a moment. All peeling a subject to one simple rule. Is this called derech achila or not? So there are two factors that combine together to declare that this is called derech achila. Number one, it's being done for right away. And number two, there is no other way to do it. So as long as those two conditions are met, then it's going to be permissible. And this is the source for all kind of peeling and preparations of fruit salads and vegetable salads. Any and every kinds of peeling are permissible because there's no other way to do it, and it's being done for right away. Now, we have to fine-tune a little bit of what that means. It's no other way to do it. Is that what you're going to ask me?
I was going to ask you more if there's an aphthamina still that is objective
versus... Oh, very good. Okay, excellent. Okay, we'll get that in a second. We'll get that in a second. So right now we're talking about psola that's bad for everybody. Okay. Right now we're talking about, let's stick to the bananas for a second, and the oranges and the onions, things that nobody eats. We'll get back to the apples in a second. So if we're dealing with something which is real bona fide psolas, both objective and subjective, so we have a problem of borer, and we're getting around the problem of borer by declaring it to be derech achila, invoking the principle of doing it for immediate, and there's no other way. Now one could theoretically, and I'm going to say that with a little bit of a smirk, theoretically argue that one could do it in another way. There are ways to get bananas out of bananas without peeling the bananas. I don't want to demonstrate them, okay? There's a very yeshivish way of getting bananas outside of a banana. We'll leave that for other times and places. The poskim say that one is not obligated to do so. One is allowed to eat on Shabbos like a normal individual would eat. I am not saying anything negative about other kinds of people who may eat in different ways, but the halakha does not require you to sit and mash into your banana and cut it out and pull out the banana. If the normal derech achila declares to peel a banana, that is declared in the halacha to be derech achila, and that is permissible. So you raise an excellent question about objective versus subjective. I'm going to come to that in 1 second. I'm going to give you one other example that becomes critical. Probably the most common shaila that people ask about peeling is peeling cucumbers on Shabbos. So based on everything that we just said, it sounds like it's great. What could possibly be wrong? After all, I'm doing it for right away. Right before making a salad, I'm about to eat lunch right away, and I'm taking the bad from the good, but that doesn't matter because EF Shabbalavach, there's no other way really to do it in a practical way, so it sounds like it should be okay. The potential problem with the cucumber peeler is exactly what I just said, that it's a peeler. And a kli, a utensil that's used for the purposes of borer, is usually a no-no in Hilchos Borer. And in fact, some poskim are of the opinion that anytime you use what's called a kli ha-meyuchad lekach, a utensil that's designated for this purpose, i.e., kishmo kenu, it's called a peeler, because the job is to peel, there were poskim who held that peelers are absolutely off-limits. There are other poskim who permitted the peeling of cucumbers for immediate use based on a couple of reasons. One reason is something that you mentioned, you refer to. What makes something bad in contrast to good? Is it something that depends on you? Does it depend on most people? So banana peels, nobody, no human being at least that I know of, eats banana peels. Nobody eats orange peels, maybe candied orange peels. Nobody eats orange peels the way they are. But cucumber peels, there are a lot of people who do eat them. There are a lot of people who don't peel their cucumbers. I remember it was a great great wake-up moment for me, my very first day in Karabiyavna. It was a wake-up moment for me on many, many fronts, my first day in Karabiyavna. But I remember sitting down and noticing that there were a lot of cucumbers. I figured, gee, this must be today's lunch. And then I found out that was tomorrow's lunch and the next day's lunch and every other day's lunch for the next 2.5 years. So we got used to eating cucumbers. And I also noticed that nobody was peeling the cucumbers. Now, I had grown up thinking that, of course, you have to peel cucumbers, but I quickly realized that you don't necessarily have to do that. And so be it. So different people would eat cucumbers with the peels, people would eat them without the peels. One could argue that that could mitigate some of the issues in terms of Hilchos Shabbos if the peels themselves are edible. There is another possible grounds to be a little bit more lenient about peeling cucumbers, is that when you peel a cucumber, you never really separate between the cucumber and the peel exactly. It's not like a banana. When you take off a banana peel, so the peel comes off and the banana is there. When you peel a cucumber, you inevitably are going to take some of the cucumber off as well. So there are some poskim who maintain that since the line of demarcation is not really between good and bad, but it's even within the good itself, there's a little bit of going away, maybe that's not considered to be borer. So there are two very, very different opinions two approaches in the Gedolei Poskim of today about the issue of peeling cucumbers. So again, the general rule of peeling is that if it's done without a kli, then for sure it's okay if it's done for right away. If it's done with a kli, there are some who permit it and there are some who prohibit it. So in the Sobolovsky home, I think, I'll check when Frank comes down, but I'm pretty sure that their custom is to be lenient on this. For again, a variety of these different kinds of reasons that maybe it's not borer altogether and maybe it's taking a little bit of the good and the bad, etc. The whole slew of different reasons why some posts can be made. Oh, excellent question. Oh, that's a multi-million dollar question. So we're going to see that a little bit more. It's going to play out in terms of other malachas as well. But suffice it to say, it's not that long. That means it's pretty much the last thing that you do right before the meal. So if you're planning on taking your Shabbos walk, you should probably do all the preparations after you come back from the walk. Okay. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. It's going to come up a little bit later about because it's going to impact another malacha as well. So again, so we have the first malacha that we're dealing with is the issue of bora, the issue of peeling, and we have a pretty good idea as to what the factors that we're looking for. We're looking for derech achila. We're looking for immediate use. We have questions about the peelers. We have yevshe b'lavachi. Those are the factors that are going into our discussion. Yeah. So yantiv is much more lenient than that. Yeah, yantiv probably even the mechamir would be megal. Okay, we now move on to a different malacha. So now that we have our cucumbers or our whatever other vegetables we have peeled, now we want to cut them up to make them into a salad, and we run into a whole other issue. So if you take a look at the third of the sources, in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Yud Beis, HaMachatech HaYerek Dak Dak. If a person cuts up a vegetable into very, very small pieces, Chayiv Mishum Tochein. It's a potential issue of tochen. Tochen means to grind. So it's a little bit of a stretch from the model of tochen. Tochen, as classic tochen, is you take grain and you put it into a grinder or something, it becomes into flour. But the Gemara tells us, according to most opinions, that the Gemara comments about this very case and says that if you take a vegetable and cut it into very, very small pieces, that could also be a potential problem of tochen. If we take a look, we're going to skip down a little bit in that same source, three lines from the top to the very, very end of the line. V'chol zelo mairei, the very end, this is a quote from the Ramah, the end of the third line. V'chol zelo mairei ele b'chol techa meniach. The same story we just said before. When is this true that it's called tochein? That's what's being done for later. About im la'ochlo biyad, if you're coming to eat it right away, hakol shari, then everything is okay. Why? Similar to borer, similar to what we just said before about the peeling, that tochen and borer are similar, and they both are subject to the leniency of derech achila. Now, notwithstanding what the Ramah just said, many poskim did not accept that comparison. The leniency of derech achila, the leniency of immediate use, appears in the Gemara itself, vis-a-vis borer, and the Rashba, who has been quoted here, extended and extrapolated from the Melach of Bora to the Melach of Tochein, and many, many Rishon took issue with this. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah and the fourth of the sources, V'yesh mefakfakin al heter zeh. There are those who are mefakfakin, it's like the question, who argued with this particular Kula. V'gabba Beis Yosef Kosav, another Beis Yosef, who's the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, writes, Sha'af misha miskavin lecha miyad, so says the Beis Yosef that we really should try to avoid relying on this leniency. To rely on the leniency for peeling, well, that's in the Gemara. To rely on the leniency for grinding, for cutting, that does not appear in the Gemara. And since many questioned it, it is better, says the Beis Yosef, if you're cutting up pieces for a salad, try not to make them too small. Because remember what the Loshon of the Shulchan Aruch was, HaMechatech Zirech Dak Dak. If you cut it small, small, small. Implying that if it's not so small, then it would be okay. Now, this is very, very hard to quantify. We shouldn't feel bad if we don't know how to quantify it, because the Rishonim themselves write that they didn't know how to quantify it. So I cannot look at a cucumber and tell you it's too small. But I can tell you that if you make it a little bit bigger than you would normally think you would be making it, then you're probably all right. So again, so we have two different factors now combining together. We're dealing with malach of tochein, cutting up vegetables, cutting up fruits, and on the one hand, we're trying to avoid doing it into two small pieces. Again, we're not 100% sure where to draw that line. And now we have this dispute about, well, what if it's being done for immediate use? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the correct thing to do is, mitamzeh, back to the second line in the fourth of the sources, mitamzeh kosvu kama charon, and many of the later authorities have written, gamke dinochel nisnai kemashikosvu b'yosef, that the correct practice should be, is not to cut vegetables or fruit into very small pieces, Umikol Mokol. However, Hanogin Lachdoch Abitzolim Vatznon Dak Dak. There are people, the Mishnah Berurah sees, there are people in town who are cutting up their onions and cutting up their radishes into very, very small pieces. Ein Limchos Biyodim. We don't have to stop them. We're not obligated to scream from the rooftops, Kol Shabbos. The Yesh Lama Mishay Smochu. They have what to rely on. They're relying on the Rashba, they're relying on the Ramah. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, even those who are lenient, who permit the cutting of vegetables into small pieces, if as long as it's being done for right away, also lasas ad yetzias beis hakneses. You cannot do it until shul's over. And that's a throwback to the question that you asked before. What's considered to be close enough to the meal if the shul is over? The ba'idin samach l'suda mamish. Because samach l'suda, in order to label something as derech achila, it has to literally be for immediate use. So what does that mean, if the shul is over? What if the shul is over and then you're going to take a walk? What if the shul is over and then there's a kiddush in someone's house? What if the shul is over and then there's a women's shir? There can be a lot of things that shul is over. So let's put things into proper perspective. Chofetz Chaim is writing in Radin in the late 1800s. I don't want to, you know, put anything, you know, put a doubt on anything. There were no groups for kids in Radin. There were no women's shirim after davening in Radin. No one was making kiddush. Nobody had any food to make any kiddushes. Davening was over. People went home. That's pretty much what happened. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. So if the men already came home from shul, so then that's when the meal is about to start. So that's called Samach L'Suda. What would the modern day equivalent be? If all other things between shul and the meal are over, whatever those other things are, when you come home and you're ready to make, to mamash get about to make kiddush, so then it's done. Then you, whatever cutting or peeling, whatever little things here and there that you have to do, touch up at the end, so that would be considered to be Samach L'Suda. Again, those who could do any of these things before Shabbos make life easier, but those who want to prepare these kinds of things on Shabbos itself, so we should keep in mind that when we speak about Samach L'Suda, we really mean Samach L'Suda. There were some poskim who maintained that if it's within an hour before the meal, that's always called Samach L'Suda. Rav Moshe did not think that was correct. Rav Moshe did not think that there's an objective number on the clock. He thought that whatever is called Samach L'Suda, whatever is considered to be the last utlat preparations right before the meal is about to begin. So again, so we've already seen the idea of Samach L'Suda when it comes to peeling. And now we saw it repeated concerning tochein. We're not even sure that it's applicable to tochein. So therefore I tell people, lechetchila, when you're cutting up, if you're cutting up salads or anything of the above, so it's better to try to make it into a little bit bigger pieces. Try not to make it into little pieces. And for sure, one should not be using grinders or any kinds of utensils for that matter. One should just cut with a knife and try to make it a little bit bigger than normal, and if it's done before the meal, so that's also a good idea to try to do it before the meal as well, and that probably a little bit safer between those two factors. So now that we have all our vegetables all peeled and all cut, all ready to roll. Yes. I think so. So I would recommend, if you're having a lot of company, to try to prepare stuff before Shabbos. I think so. Okay. And the fifth of the sources, so now the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the following, about squeezing fruit. So for us, the most common issue that comes up is squeezing lemon. The person wants to add some lemon juice, put it into the salad. What are the parameters of that? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that in the fifth of the sources, mutal lischot eshkol anovim, one could even squeeze grapes, lesok kedei reshiesh patavshil, kedei lesaket ha'ochel, into a pot which has food in it, in order to improve the taste of the food. Because we view the liquid as if it's itself food. There's no food in the pot or into a plate. That would be a problem. What is the Shulchan Aruch referring to? So there is a malacha called dosh. Dosh means to thresh. So threshing basically means when you exert pressure on the grain, which separates the part of the grain, the inner part that you want gets separated out from the outer part that gets broken. That's considered the malacha of disha. So the Gemara explains to us that any time you exert pressure on something to get something else out, that's a potential problem of disha. That's the reason why, according to many opinions, why milking cows is a very serious problem on Shabbos. That's the reason why squeezing fruit is a very serious problem on Shabbos. Those are all considered to be part of the malacha of disha. So the Gemara tells us a tremendous chiddush concerning the malacha of schitas peiros, the prohibition of squeezing fruit. The Gemara tells us that when you're not allowed to squeeze fruit, when I'm squeezing, let's say I'm squeezing a grape, I'm squeezing a grape to make a cup of grape juice, that's a problem. What if I'm squeezing a grape to get the juice into food? I don't want to drink the juice. I want the juice to go directly into the food to improve the quality of the food. So the Gemara seems to say that would be permissible. Why is that? Because the halacha doesn't view that I'm squeezing juice out of fruit. It's considered to be just one big food. It's all considered to be the same food. It's considered to be one salad into another salad. It's like slicing an apple. It's not considered to be extracting a juice from a salad. So that's a question in the Gemara itself, and strictly speaking, we paskin that that is permissible. We have a practice that we try to avoid doing it under certain circumstances, but when it comes to lemons, we have a right to be a little bit more lenient for a variety of other halachic reasons beyond discussion right now. And that's what our practice is today, that one is not allowed to squeeze a lemon on Shabbos to make, let's say, to make a cup of lemon juice or something, to make lemonade, that would be a problem. But to squeeze a lemon directly onto food, it's going to improve the quality of the food, that would be permissible. So that's the reason why, say, if you have a slice of lemon on a piece of fish, you want to squeeze the lemon, that's all right. You can squeeze the lemon directly onto the fish. Or if you want to squeeze a lemon directly into the salad to enhance the taste of the salad a little bit, that would be permissible. But one is not permitted to do, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, one is not permitted to squeeze lemons into a cup, even if you're planning on using that juice to pour into a food later. That's a problem. It was a fascinating lum de shaila. People weren't so happy about it, but it was a lum de, I was excited about it. It was a lum de shaila on Yom Tov. It wasn't this past year, I think it was last year, that somebody had, by mistake, the non-Jewish person who was working in the kitchen, by mistake, was squeezing the lemon in order to add into the salad, but she was first squeezing it into a cup to fill up a cup, and then she was going to pour that cup into whatever, into the guacamole, whatever it was. So that's a big problem, because not only is that, not only are you not allowed to squeeze a lemon, but the juice that comes out of the lemon is now also to be used on that Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. And when the person was informed that they shouldn't be doing that anymore, they said, "Oh, so sorry," and they took the juice and they poured the whole thing into the guacamole. So it could be that they now may have prohibited the whole thing until after Yom Tov was over. So it got a little bit sticky. We found the cool anyway, off the record, but it's something that should be avoided. So. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's only if it's a salad. There's a fascinating discussion. It's a very fine line discussion about when something is considered to be a salad, when it's considered to be a liquid. There was a machlokes haposkim about if a person is allowed to take a lemon and squeeze a lemon onto sugar and then put that sugar into tea. So to squeeze the lemon directly into tea is a problem that you're not allowed to do. What you can do is you're allowed to slice a lemon, and then assuming there are no bishul issues, you can put it into a cup of tea. But to squeeze the lemon into the tea is a real problem, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Strangely enough, this is also a problem on Yom Tov. But if you squeeze it onto, a spoonful of the sugar cube or into a spoonful of sugar or something, so then there was some who were makel in that, and not everyone even accepted that cooler. But again, for us, practically speaking, when you're preparing salads, so we do this all the time, very often we do this, we squeeze the lemon directly onto the salad, so that would be okay. So, but again, one has to be careful not to do it if it's not going directly onto the salad food. There is another concern that comes up in the sixth of the sources. So Shulchan Aruch tells us that also l'mloa chatichos tzenon da'al lohe biyachad, one is not permitted to salt a lot of pieces of a radish at one time, because it gives off the impression that a person is like vinegaring, like marinating vegetables. So the kovish kevashim, to marinate vegetables on Shabbos, is a problem. There's actually two different reasons why it's a problem. One of the reasons is that kovish osmeishu kebevashel, because it's similar to cooking. There are certain similarities in halacha between something that's soaked and sitting in, like, you know, in a vinegary type of a solution, and similar to something that's being cooked. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that reason, that's why you're not allowed to do kovish kevashim. Like, say you want to make pickles, you're not allowed to take cucumbers and throw them into a brine and have it sit for days. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us that not only you're not allowed to actually pickle and marinate on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to even salt those kinds of things that are sometimes marinated, that are sometimes pickled. Anything that's sometimes pickled would be a problem. What are some things that are sometimes pickled? Pickles, cucumbers. So cucumbers, by definition, would be a problem. So let's say a person has a salad, and they don't want to turn their cucumbers into pickles. They just want to salt them. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara that if you have a bunch of them together, so you're not allowed to do that. You can do one at a time. If you want to eat one cucumber, so you can put a little bit of salt onto it. Most people don't like to do that. But if you want to salt eggs or something, eggs are not things that people marinate, so they don't pickle eggs, so that would be okay. So any and every kind of vegetable that's sometimes pickled would be a problem. So we have to figure out what kind of vegetables does this apply to. So again, obviously it applies to cucumbers. Does it apply to tomatoes? So this is a very, very long dish of shayla, supply of tomatoes. Why? Well, we have pickled tomatoes. Don't they sell them the store pickled tomatoes? I think they do, right? I think so. No, we never saw pickled tomatoes. When I was a kid, we used to eat pickled tomatoes. So tomatoes, I think, are all... Yeah. I remember as a little kid, they sell them anymore. I'm sure they're really good for your sodium intake, that's for sure, I can guarantee you. Those who want, their high blood pressure to go off the charts, I have some pickled tomatoes. Oh, that's a borer problem. That would be a potential borer problem. Yeah, that would be it. Yeah. So there are some poskim who permit, if you take out some of the salad, some of the food with the, there are different opinions about that. So you don't want anyone chalila to choke on the seed. So I guess, you know, those who would be making like that would have a, it's too small. Okay. I guess we have to all go back to, you have to use the pre-squeezed lemon juice. So you have to eat it. Okay, so that's exactly what we get to. So, we're just trying to figure out which vegetables are subject to this problem. So, cucumbers are for sure subject to this problem. Tomatoes may or may not be subject to this problem. There are different opinions about that. But the most common is cucumbers. The bottom line is I have a salad. So, I got a salad. So, I can salt my lettuce. That would be a new chumrah. I got to start only salt the lettuce. That's absurd. I can salt the salad with the cucumbers. So, it sounds like we have a very real problem on our hands. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah explains to you why we do what we do, why most people do salt their salads on Shabbos. So Mishnah Berurah explains in the seventh of the sources, "Umin hagenu, our custom is shechokhem b'Shabbos tenon dak." That we do have these small pieces of radish. Remember, before he explained that people used to cut the radishes small right before the meal, whatever different reasons. And then they would put it into a plate. And people would salt them. How can you do it? The Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, quotes the Gemara, you're not allowed to salt these kinds of things. And then people would throw vinegar on top of it. That was the delectable dish in Eastern Europe. Sometimes when you read the Mishnah Berurah, both in Ruchas Brachas and Ruchas Shabbos, it describes all the wonderful foods that exist in Eastern Europe. So then you has new meanings to the song. There's a famous Yiddish song about Zuntik Bulbas, Muntik Bulbas, Sunday potatoes, Monday potatoes, Tuesday potatoes. That's pretty much the only thing that grew Eastern Europe. It was a very, very short season for anything to actually grow, because it was most of the time it was cold. So the only things that grew in those short seasons were potatoes, and more potatoes, and more potatoes, and more carrots. So that's why, if you ever notice, all the Ashkenazi food, it's all potatoes and it's all carrots. So the Mishnah Berurah is describing that radishes also. That was another big thing. And borscht, they had beets. So that's pretty much, that's about as far as we got. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that people used to do this on Shabbos, even though it seems to be a clearer violation of this din Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah Berurah explains why it's not a problem. Venira, he explains this based on the following reason. The came under Eima Nichana so klal hazia, ala shovchim shama chometz, vagamin machem lo domil ibud, vakoshigetim shovchim sham shemen tekev shemen machlish kochamelach. He says that when does it make sense to say that there's a prohibition of salting vegetables? Let's not forget the original prohibition was because it almost gives off the impression of like marinating, pickling, that kind of soaking, that kind of a problem. So that's only true when you pour salt on it. Literally, it sits in the salt, and it's juicy, and it's sitting there for who knows how long. Here, what we do is, we pour some salt on it, and then we throw a bunch of other things on it. We put oil on it, put salad dressing, all kind of other things onto it. So that weakens the salt. I'm not just salting the vegetables. I'm putting the salt on together with the half a dozen other things that I'm putting onto it. So that's not the way you pickle things. That's not the way you marinate things. And therefore, one could defend this practice. I think that's what most people are relying on. That's why I tell people, if they want to salt their salads on Shabbos, it's permissible. But they should put something else in there also. So whether they put in the lemon juice, if they did it their cheter, or they put in their salad dressing, or olive oil, or anything else, it goes together with the salt, so that, in a sense, defeats the whole problem, circumvents the whole problem of the marinating, pickling, which was the original source for the problem of the salty in the first place. So I think that there are grounds to be legit in this. Again, so just to recap for a little bit, so we touched on actually a few different malachas. Okay, We didn't necessarily complete the malach of borer. We didn't quite complete the malach of tochen. We didn't quite complete the malach of schita or kovash kavashim. A lot, you know, there's a lot more in each one of these things. But at least we got a little bit of a taste how even something which seems almost as innocent as making a salad on Shabbos can potentially run into different issues in terms of Shabbos. I think another important thing that we saw from here is that it's very fairly simple to prepare things derech heter. It's fairly simple to do things derech achila, not derech malacha. It just takes a little bit of a concentration, a little bit of knowledge of what some of the details of the halacha are. So it's not that everything is off limits on Shabbos, but the Kaddish Baruch wants us that we should, even when you're sitting, you're cutting your cucumbers and you're sitting and salting your salad. So to think Shabbos Hashem Lekecha, that the Baruch Hashem is a different day. It's a Yom Kaddosh. We do things different. Everything on Shabbos is different. The way we talk is different. The way we walk is different. The way we think is different, and the way we make our salads are different. So everything is different. Everything is made. Sheshem Tavo, we make our salads one way. Yom Hashvi Shabbos Lashem Lekecha. So it's not that everything is also on Shabbos. We are allowed to do a lot of things on Shabbos, but it's supposed to be done in a different way, derech Kedusha, in the proper manner. Again, the only way to be able to do this appropriately is to get a better feeling for what the halachas are. If anyone has some questions, we can take just a couple of questions on either related to salad or any major earth-shattering Chol Shabbos or Hashkafas HaChayim or anything you want to talk about life. usually when I tell the boys in Shiva that's like the beginning of like a four-hour thing, so we're not going to talk 4 hours. No one here wants to stay for 4 hours.
In the last sermon that
No, so the Mishnah Berurah himself seems to say that.
Because we had a little bit of a debate a couple of years ago. Yes, I had the people from Shul on a Friday night, and they told us it was their last Hunger. I mean, just Hunger Salad on Friday night after I made it because they made it after Shabbos started.
And he blamed it on me, did he?
So we haven't had Hunger Salad in a long time for me on Shabbos, which is fine, but in theory, there are other things that go into cucumber salad. It's not just vinegar and salt, there are other things as well. But we stayed away. So,
I don't know. So the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit unclear because he writes that you just pour some. Now, there's a vinegar salad. It sits in the vinegar. It really.
Well, not in my house. It doesn't stay long.
Does it
really? I mean, literally, like especially if I'm careful to cut it right before a meal,
right.
We won't have any leftover by the time the meal is over. So it's not marinating. I'm not preparing it for the next day.
Right. So it's not going to be ready.
Solution is.
Okay, so I have to think. So between now and Friday night, tell your husband to remind me, and we'll try to see whether we can.
Yeah.
It's always good. Okay.
Right.
It sounds like it's yeah. Let me think about it a little bit more. Okay. Well, the problem is that we're not really sure what's called larger. If you take an apple and cut it in half, that you could do for today for 10 hours from now. I mean, assuming it's still Shabbos. But the problem is once you start to cut into little pieces, then it's much harder to know where to draw the line. So the reason why the Mishnah Berurah says if you almost combine the two factors together, you cut it into a little bit bigger than you would normally cut, and you do it right away. So then you have two factors to be a little bit more lenient on. So I wouldn't take the attitude that, well, I'm cutting bigger, so therefore everything's great. Because unless you're really cutting really, really big. I remember one part of that eye-opener experience in Eretz Yisrael was, I remember as Americans, we used to always laugh at the Israelis who would be at the table with us, that they would sit meticulously and cut these cucumbers and make the quote-unquote Israeli salad. We'd spend 30 minutes just cutting the cucumbers, and it would take about 30 seconds to eat the cucumbers, and we just were never able to deal with that. We couldn't. Americans, it just wasn't worth the, it just wasn't worth the hachana for the cucumbers.
So therefore, you should not make
Right. Right. The Israeli salad, I would for sure be careful about. Right. Those who want to be lenient to right before they eat, but before, you know, let's say Friday night to make for the next day, I for sure wouldn't do it. Right. Very good.
Right.
So then you. Okay, so then we should try to do it after Shul. We should try to do it after Shul. We'll try to get you in that direction.
What about like a pepper or something? You're cutting it as a seasoning part. So is it okay to remove
it? Oh, you mean removing of the seed? Right. So the question is that considered to be. Right. So usually when you remove these kinds of things, is the best way to do it is to remove a little bit of the fruit also. So if you cut, like a cantaloupe always, when you cut out the seeds, you're not only taking the seeds, taking a little bit of the fruit. So that combined with the fact that it's derech achila probably, and it's right before the meal, that would probably be okay. Okay, you should try to do those things before the meal. General rule in Borer is, what you do before the meal is not always mutter, but it's much better. You always say when you do things before the meal in Borer. Yeah. You should try to. I knew that someone's gonna. I was so happy. I made it to 9:15, and nobody attacked me on the strawberries. No, it's okay. I was like a beeline out of here before the first strawberry question came. So I'll tell you the story. You know, the issue with, in a sense, the general question, you know, washing, soaking vegetables, you know, bugs, that kind of stuff, in terms of a Shabbos. There are different opinions. There are different opinions in terms of what kind of washing or soaking may be permissible. One should try not to actually soak things on Shabbos. Soaking fruits and vegetables on Shabbos is a potentially more serious problem. One should try to wash them under a stream of water for right before use is significantly better. The only problem is that there's some things that may not get cleaned that way, like vegetables, those who want to eat strawberries, so there's certain guidelines that we use to soak strawberries, may not accomplish what you're trying to accomplish without that. So anything that really, that Hilchos Kashrus dictates should be soaked, should really be prepared from before Shabbos. Okay? Anything that could just be, you know, washed under the faucet, so that you could just wash it off right before you eat it.
Sorry, so we've been using this terminology, some with Gouda, right? What if I'm cutting vegetables to be eaten by children walking through the house?
Oh, that's okay, as long as they can eat it right away. It doesn't have to be a literal. Yeah. Right. Suda does mean literally Suda. It does mean literally Suda. You might know, is mayonnaise a solid, mayonnaise a liquid? So Ramosha has a fascinating shuva about ketchup, whether ketchup is a solid or ketchup. It's different than Nichols Bishel. Maybe later on in the year we'll get to that. There's a question whether there's Yesh Bishlach or Bishel on ketchup. So I think the answer to that question is, it depends what kind of ketchup we're talking about. There's Heinz ketchup, you know, which, you know, remember the commercial Anticipation? Okay, it used to be a famous commercial. You got the little 3-year-old kid is standing there with the ketchup upside down. It'll take me an hour and a half to come out. That's very, very solid. Some of the more no pun intended, watered down brands of the kinds you get on Pesach tend to be a little bit less quality ketchup. So that may be more of a liquid. I don't know. I'm not sure about mayonnaise. I'm not sure the consistency of mayonnaise, whether it's closer to ketchup. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's a lush, it's a whole other issue. We didn't go anywhere near lush. We got plenty of malachas to do. We got a long way to go. Right, so there are two different opinions about that. So the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Machmir who say that, and the Ramah said that Mikra, then that would be okay. So what I tell people lechatchila is that even if they're cutting right before the meal, they should try not to make very small pieces. But those who are making small pieces before the meal definitely have what to rely on. That the Mishnah Berurah himself said that those who are relying on that have, you know, definitely have poskim to follow. Very good, excellent, very good. So the reason for that is that the halacha dictates that something that's coming out of a solid and about to enter into a solid never really becomes a liquid. Halachically, it's not viewed as a liquid anymore. And the whole halacha of disha is the extracting of the liquid from the solid. So it's not a scientific question, it's not a chemical question, it's a halachic analysis. Okay. Okay. Check your notes back from, it's in there somewhere. No, you shouldn't use that. You should not use that. You shouldn't use any of these kinds of grinders or anything that's a kli on miyucha l'kash, not to use the chance.
What about like
parents
and dads? You want to crush the chips on
top? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of chips are they made? There are different kinds of chips. Some chips are made from whole, just sliced potatoes, and others are made from ground up stuff that was reconstituted. Which ones are those? So no, it's a big difference. There's a big difference because there's no tochen. Once something was already grounded, then it's not subject to being. So it depends. I don't know the fancy chips. They just the old style chips. The good old Wise potato chips. They still exist. Wise potato chips. Wise potato chips are a sliced potato that was just drowned in oil. So that's why a potato chip is hadama, because it's literally just taking a slice of potato. Pringles potato chips were chopped up into little pieces, and then.
They're
potatoes that at one time in the Gilgal, in their lifetime, they were potatoes. Then they made into powder, and then they reconstituted back to become potatoes again.
I think it's the vegetable ones.
They're probably like that. So that's more of a problem, because then they were never ground in the first place. So that would be a problem. So you would have to make those before Shabbat. Okay. Okay, so guess what? So what we'll try to do is, we'll put together all of our different questions about from here, and then we have to reconvene in a couple of weeks from now, so maybe we can take it over from some people have questions, or we'll move on to other malachas. Okay, good night. Okay.